welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and this is the podcast to learn how to create your dream business so you too can live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners at all levels how to build the business of their dreams. Today's episode is brought to you by Dream Business Academy. It's a three-day live event. Our next one, which will be our seventh, is taking place in Providence, Rhode Island, September 27th, 28th, and 29th. This is a marketing and business building event where you will learn how to build a million-dollar platform so you too can build your dream business. You can learn more at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. By the way, if you want to register, we have early bird registration pricing, and you can take $100 off that ticket price using the coupon code PODCAST at checkout. Again, that's dreambizacademy.com. Use the coupon code PODCAST for $100 off your registration. I'm really excited about this week's show. My special guest is Pratima Avarabhumi, and I'm going to introduce her right now, and from now on I'm only going to use her first name. So Pratima is a designer, a quote expert, and she's the founder of CraftStreetDesign.com. She has built a six-figure business in 6 months designing quotes. She is on a mission to help you achieve your goals, be happy, and pass on the inspiration to everyone around you through her quote designs. Pratima, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Jim. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And I first of all want to start off by thanking you for the very nice gift you sent me. It actually arrived like last week, and you had not been on my show yet because now we're talking. But I wasn't sure. I didn't even recognize the name. I said, Steph, who sent me this? And she told me somebody you're interviewing next week. It's really cool. I mean, it's on very nice cardstock. It's in a nice little plastic sleeve. It's a Napoleon Hill quote, a goal is a dream with a deadline. What a unique thing. How did you before I dive into your craft street design, you know, it's really hard to say fast. Did you always have entrepreneurial genes? Were you inspired by your parents, or how did you decide to go down that road?
I think I was already used to being an entrepreneur in a way that, when I say that, I mean my father was an entrepreneur and he owned a small business, kind of a service-based business. But I kind of was used to the way, I think the most important part is getting used to the way money trickles in a business, sporadic in the beginning. And that is, I think, the biggest trouble for a lot of people. And I think that's where I'm already used to it. So I kind of have a gene per se, but I was in corporate. I did go back into corporate. I didn't think that I would be an entrepreneur, or that's not, it wasn't planned. It was not a childhood dream of mine or anything. So I just kind of fell into it.
You know, a lot of people fall into entrepreneurship. There's a great book. I think it's probably 15 years old now, but it's called Get Fired and Get Fired Up. So a lot of people that have successful business today first started out because they lost their job and then they had to find something to do. So not everybody is born with the entrepreneurial itch, so to speak.
Yep.
So, you know, in reading a little bit about you, I was struck where you said you were in a bad situation, and this is, I guess, where the power of quotes came from. You kept a quote on your kitchen wall, darkest hour is just before the dawn, right? So that was something. Is that when you recognized the power of quotes?
Yeah, that is. I think that was a turning point. I mean, I have always used quotes. I used to paint, and I used to have quotes on these paintings. But I didn't do it for the purpose of knowing. I mean, I didn't knowingly do it, thinking that it's going to somehow help me. I didn't realize that. But this one quote and that situation where I was always, I mean, completely depressed and a lot of bad things happened to me, and I was totally spiraled down, and I was actually thinking of ending my life. And in that moment, reading that quote gave me a lot of inspiration. It kind of pulled me back. I changed the conversation in my head. I started rethinking the whole thing, gave me choices. Yes, it is still all within me, but the court was what triggered it for me. And I took control of my life, and it completely changed my life. So that's when I truly realized the power of courts. And I decided that, you know what, it's helped me. I'm sure it helps others. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm assuming that other people are going to buy, so I wanted to make sure that other people would perceive the same value and actually find it important and useful. And with a lot of research, I did come to that conclusion, and obviously I'm doing quite well, like you said. So.
Yes. I mean, you created a six-figure business in 6 months. Did you have a goal to do that, or were you actually kind of surprised? Holy smokes, look how quickly this has taken off.
I don't think I had a goal per se like that, that I have to reach the six-figure mark. I wasn't looking at reaching it in 6 months. I was looking at more like a one-year, one-and-a-half-year type of plan. But the amount of work I did, it kind of snowballed, and we reached there so much quicker than what I had expected. So I didn't start with the six-figure mark as a plan in 6 months. I was hoping to, you know, have a good validation, have some momentum going, really, but it turned out to be quite different, and yes, I was surprised by it.
I remember, and I don't know the year, I'm guessing it's 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I remember when Facebook came on the scene and, you know, social media started changing in a big way, and a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners, friends that I have and things, people started posting, and they didn't know really what to post. I think actually this is before the term content marketing even became Vogue or whatever, but so people were posting quotes all over the place because they know they wanted to post, didn't know what to post, so they posted quotes. But it's really interesting how you have turned that into a business. Now, is your business mostly as by way of gifts, and other people are using these as gifts, or like who is your average customer?
Our average customer is usually skews young, and they are giving it as gifts, whether that is to other people or to themselves. They're treating themselves in a way when they get this quote. So it's helping them, you know, it works as daily reminders. It gives a voice to words that, you know, that they want to hear, that reminds them of things. So it goes both ways. They're doing self-love and also to other people.
How do entrepreneurs use quotes to establish themselves as an authority? Because I think that's really what happens when people are posting quotes, whether, you know, it's a Napoleon Hill quote or a Ben Franklin or Zig Ziglar, those type of things. They're posting quotes, and people, I think, at least their goal is when people see it and read it, they figure, well, if he likes and resonates with that, he must have the same vision. Is that what you think?
It is a couple of different things. So I think the biggest mistake entrepreneurs are doing out there is they're posting quotes and they're thinking that people are going to, I mean, everybody likes quotes. It's always great to reflect, and it kind of feels good when you read these things, right? So they're thinking people are going to interact and people are going to like their brand from it. Although that happens, I think the quotes need to be in line with your brand. Depending on what you're doing, for example, you know, if you are targeting all online entrepreneurs in some way, then you need to talk more about quotes that are more maybe customer service oriented if they have, you know, product based or any type of online business that really works. So you kind of have to, it has to be in line with what you're doing. Just posting quotes about mindset is not going to help if you're not talking about mindset at all and you're just talking about like data or figures or something to that effect. So I think that at the end of the day, they do help, and people love quotes because it reminds them of what they want to be. But it definitely needs to be in line with whatever it is, whether you're selling, whether you want them to read a blog post, it has to be in line with that.
Okay. So tell me about when you – so were you working in corporate when you had the idea for Craft Street Design?
Yeah, I was actually in technology, and I've been working for a while, about 6-7 years after this incident, and I thought that's what I wanted to do. I didn't think that I would go into business, but when things – I mean, I was at Apple. It was my dream job. It was fantastic. I loved – everything, but I was still not satisfied. I thought when you get your dream job, you kind of should be happy, right? But I didn't get there.
It turns out it's just a job, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, it's still a job. I mean, I still cannot control a lot of things. I still cannot see, you know, the effort I put in, I cannot see the results until, like, probably 3 years later. And, like, there's a lot of stuff that is really out of your control and in a job in general, and that is, you know, nothing against Apple or any other company. So at that time, you know, I kind of went back and thought about, okay, what do I start? What do I do? And that's how I went back to the moment that helped me a lot and said, okay, why not? You know, I was also a designer always because my graduate studies is in design and my bachelor's is in computer science. So I have, like, you know, best of both worlds. So I was doing this all the time, designing on the side. I was freelancing. So I said, why not? And that's how I got started, and that's how we started in actually March of 2015.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So it hasn't been that long. Now, when you started the business, were you just doing it like did you envision it being like a part-time thing? And then how quickly did it get to the point you said, wow, I got to quit my job and do this full-time?
So my very first thought was, you know, why would people buy this? You know, you can go to Canva, you can go to many other places, and you can just put whatever quotes you like, and you can just search, you know, for quotes, and you'll find, like, plenty of them, right? Like, so I was thinking, you know, why would somebody buy it? And so to figure that out first, I actually went and posted it on a lot of marketplaces. I went to, there was something called Darby Smart in 2015, and Etsy and Amazon. And I started placing products there to see. I mean, I designed about eight or nine, I think nine it was at the time, and posted it out there to see if anybody would even buy it. Because the amount of work that goes in, I wasn't sure if people would actually perceive what it is that I'm trying to give them, right? So, but when I first got my order, which was like $7, and I was jumping up and down thinking I'm in business at this point.
Yeah.
Because that was the first order, and I was really thrilled because, you know, the idea has been validated at this point, and I was really excited about that part of it. But once I did that, I started reaching to corporate, and I started asking them if they wanted to buy, like, things like gifts for executives, and I was reaching out to secretaries and executive assistants and all sorts of small businesses, and I was trying to see if they would buy in bulk instead of one piece at a time, because as you can see, one piece was $7 at the time. And it wasn't going to, you know, get me anywhere near my goal probably for the next 10 years. I wasn't sure. That's what I was thinking. So that I reached out and I started selling in that channel. I started reaching out to people on LinkedIn. That's what got me cash into the business. And even though it was not enough for me to quit my job because, you know, we get paid really well in tech, but
yeah,
it gave me confidence that, you know, I can make this bigger than what it is, and it's not really little money to live on. So that's when I quit my job, but it took me a good probably 2 months, but it's really, really short time thinking about doing this part-time and trying to shuffle between the two. I thought that would be harder on me than just quitting and taking the stress of not having the financial support at least the first few months.
Was that really scary when you quit and, you know, like you say, your new business wasn't earning you enough to even come close to your salary at Apple, but was that like a super stressful time?
Yeah, it was stressful in the sense that, you know, you put it on a piece of paper and you think, you know, you can logically make this decision by looking at pros and cons, and I'm trying to do that, but it's never a straightforward decision because there is a lot of uncertainty in it. Just because you see, you know, $2,000 or $5,000 in your business doesn't mean that you can reach to the point where it can actually grow. And there's a lot more between that and six figures. So you're kind of thinking, okay, what if, I don't know, after you reach like 20 people or 100 people? What if they decide not to buy? What if somebody else comes up? Or, you know, you start to think about all these things, and there is a lot of uncertainty. That's why it's not a rational decision. I just had to pull the trigger. It took me a good, like, probably 2-3 weeks before I said, you know what, I cannot decide. I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And in my case, I guess I thought that I could always go back to a corporate job. Yes, it's going to look bad that, you know, 6 months you're, like, not in a job. It's going to look bad on your resume. But that's a very small risk compared to not being able to try something that might work. So that's how I looked at it, and that's why I pulled the trigger. But it wasn't easy, and it's not
wow.
an actual decision.
So tell me about some – I'd like to hear about some of the smart decisions you made and some of the – maybe, or at least one not-so-smart decision, like in your first 6 to 12 months with this business. Like, what did you – what worked well for you? What did you do a lot of and say, man, I'm going to just go do more of this every day? And what was maybe some things that didn't work out?
I don't know if all my decisions were clear-cut like that, Jim. They kind of – you know, mixed and molded, because I started, you know, as I told you before, I was reaching out to corporate and I was able to make sales that way, but it was something that I could not scale. It's not like I cannot send them to a website and have them assume that they're going to buy. It requires a lot of relationship building, so I could not increase that. Although, you know, it was fantastic when I did it, because cash flow was excellent, and you don't have to worry about making money on the retail side when you're looking at, okay, this is a stream of income coming in that you can go invest it and back into the business. But I think it was a great thing at the time. I don't know if it's a long-term strategy for us. I mean, we still do it because it's good money and it does what I can do in the business, but I don't know if it's a smart decision at this point. I wouldn't suggest that somebody stick to the path until you have some sort of resources to continue that kind of thing, especially for a $20 product. I mean, if it was larger, it's different. But
right.
So looking at it that way, I'm not sure. But then there are many things that I did similarly. Like, I was distributing flyers in the beginning and to all the taxi drivers, like the Uber drivers, and getting them to pass on the flyers to everybody who travels into SFO for, you know, many different reasons. So I thought I could get people to buy, and it worked. It worked in San Francisco. It worked really well, but it did not work in other cities. So that was another strategy that worked for me. In this day and age, I know flyers, right? Who would think of that coming from sick? But it still works. It still works. It's just that I had issues executing it, and I didn't want to put in too much effort into execution instead of focusing on other online marketing strategies. So there were some really silly decisions that I did, but it worked in that time, and we get to move on, and I now, you know, spend on online ads and other stuff to get the same, you know, bang for the buck, actually better bang for the buck, I should say.
So are you doing a lot of paid advertising, either Facebook or Google, or what are you doing now to drive traffic?
We're doing Pinterest ads, we do Facebook ads, and then a lot of Instagram. That's where our prime customer base is, so that's what we're doing. I don't use Google at all. We haven't ventured mm-hmm. into that. It's also a little bit more expensive at this point compared to what it used to be, I guess. So yeah, I mean, all of these methods work for us right now.
So with Instagram, I'm guessing you're posting, and we'll have to connect, but I guess you're posting some of your quotes, and then how do they find you? I mean, I don't think you're allowed to put like a URL in there, are you? So you just have like a hashtag Craft Street Designer.
Yeah, I put it in the comments. Like, I have a little blurb that I post on Instagram. It says, you know, you can buy all quote prints at craftstreetdesign.com. I do put that in a comment. I put that in the little brief description that you can put for each post. I do use hashtags as a comment instead of on the description, so that just so that it's cleaner to read. But yes, you can put the URL at the very top for your website. But I don't know how many people are going to look at your profile when they're reading a post. I'm not really sure about that. So, but I'm seeing people search for Craft State Design and come from there, and their previous visit is from Instagram. So it's a little bit tougher to track if you do it that way. But there, I know of other people who are actually have a shop on Instagram, and they can track every link because when they click on that, whatever shortened URL, they are able to go to a page hosted, whether that's on their site or one of these paid places like I think it's called Like to Have It, if I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, you could go there and you could shop directly from there instead of them ever visiting your website. So, well, there are a couple of different ways they do it, but I do it. I just put the URL in the description, and it is also in the profile.
Wow, very cool. So what do you so you've been in business, I think you said early 20s. So you've been in business almost for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, 2 years. 2 years this March.
So, yeah, so, you know, one of the things that entrepreneurs always have to answer or keep ever present in their mind is the what's next. So what's next for you? I mean, I was on your website. You got jewelry, mini prints, and things like that. So you must have a lot of relationships with, like, local printers and things like that. And they do the fulfillment, or?
Yeah, so we have a mix of fulfillment right now. So we do the prints at our studio right here. And there are things like frames that we do drop ship from other suppliers. And obviously they take a little bit longer to fulfill. But jewelry, we do it in our studio. So we kind of use like a mixed hybrid model. So that way we can test out the products and see if we have a reliable supplier to check out. Because trying to make each and every product yourself also takes a lot of resources. So we do a mix of both depending on what the product is. Right now we are trying to do mounted prints, and we have that on our marketplaces. We still haven't even listed that on the website because we're testing out to see if it is something that people want or not. But, yeah, I mean, we go back and forth in terms of fulfillment. We do it both ways. And we add a component of personalization to it, which is why I personally don't prefer drop shipping. Only because it looks like any other product if it comes from a drop shipper, even though they do a blind shipping and, you know, there's no way
right.
for the customer to know that it came from somewhere else. But even then, it's kind of, it does, I mean, I add a name tag, we add a little note inside. All of that kind of gets lost if you do a drop shipment.
Wow. So do you have how many people do you have working for you?
I have one person really as a fulfillment person, and they come in part-time, really. But everybody
okay.
else that I work with are contractors, and they're freelancers. So I don't have physical bodies and no employees other than this one person.
Wow. That's some goal that a lot of entrepreneurs have for sure. What advice do you have for mom entrepreneurs or immigrant entrepreneurs?
I think the advice is to be able to, I think it's very hard to kind of juggle many things if you're a mother and trying to be an entrepreneur because there's just too much to do and you feel like I feel like that. I have a kid and she's older now, so I put her to work in my own business and we love it because it's almost like bonding time. But
mm-hmm.
I suggest that every mom, every parent, in fact, should involve their kids in the business, not only that they learn the skills that they need as they get older, but it also, it's a way of spending time together. You do that while playing board games or you do that doing other things. So you could both pack products. So that's what we do. I think that's very useful with kids. But as an immigrant, I think that no matter how hard you work in whatever country you come from, it's a lot easier here. So I think it's just a lot easier living in America. I've been here almost 16 years. I'm no longer an immigrant. I just have roots from, originally from India. But I think whatever you're trying to do in whichever country, it's just a lot easier here. It provides an opportunity and it provides an environment to succeed.
That's so cool. So what do you do for inspiration? I mean, it's kind of like if you work in a bakery, you get tired of eating the food. Are you tired of seeing the quotes all the time, or what do you do to keep yourself motivated?
You know, that's funny, Jim. Actually, I don't get tired of looking at quotes. I always have like a new quote that I want to design to put. I have to actually pare down how many quotes I can have on the wall at one point because I have to take things down. But I put them all around me. There are quotes like right now on my desk that talk about, you know, discipline is remembering what you want and what's your one thing. And all these things keep me focused. They keep me from straying from my original goal. And I try to keep, you know, rotate these based on what I'm trying to do that month or the next few weeks.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, Pratima, I've really gotten a chance to know you. I think it's fascinating what you're doing. I can see there's probably a lot of opportunities for gift giving for entrepreneurs who believe in the whole retention and, you know, power of reciprocity and all that. So how can people learn more about you and your company?
Definitely go to craftstreetdesign.com, and if you have any questions, please email me at pratima@craftstreetdesign.com. There are many gifts that you can give your employees, and there are many other joint ventures. And if you want to be an affiliate, I have a link for that too. I will send that out to you, Jim, after. But it's craftstreetdesign.com.referencing. So you can apply to be an affiliate and sell the prints for yourself so you can make your income as well.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being on my program. It was really wonderful to chat with you.
Well, thank you, Jim. It was wonderful being here.
Good. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. Thanks to Dream Business Academy for sponsoring our show. Again, you can get $100 off your registration, and right now there's early registration, so it's a super bargain. Just use the coupon code PODCAST at checkout, and again, that's at dreambizacademy.com, dreambizacademy.com. Thank you to my editors, assistants, all of my dream team members that make my life so doggone easy. I'm Jim Palmer, the host. I'm the Dream Business Coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next week.